Well, today is the Sunday before Memorial Day. And I don't know how much you all know about this or how often you've revisited it. In the place that we lived before in the Midwest, it's patriotism is a real thing. It's part of your heart, but it's also worn on sleeves. Like I can tell you, one of the most fun things that we would do is the laying of the wreaths in December. And the best time is when the night before we would go out, the National Cemetery would have a nice light snow. And that white snow up against the white tombstones of the National Cemetery, and then the placing of the green wreaths with the red ribbons created, honestly, a beautiful Christmas card. But it is good to remember from whence we've come. And remember that this nation was founded with the intent of having a place to worship the Lord our God uninhibited. And sometimes we get sidetracked on many other things, but I want to point out to you that at one point, a single man made the right decision that set a course for a nation that we should make sure we always head towards. And his name was General George Washington. When he was approached to be our king, and we're told that his response to that is, "No, we have a king, and his name is Jesus." And so today you see that we've put the American flag and certainly the Christian flag up before you. We're not going to worship this country. We're not going to worship the form of government of this country. But I would suggest that we work hard to make sure that we always have the right and the privilege to pursue Jesus Christ in the marketplace or anywhere else God leads us. Okay, with that in mind, that's kind of like the preamble, you know. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, in Jesus Christ's name we come to you, Lord, and God, thank you for everything. But Father, thank you for allowing us to be in this nation through the good times and the hard times. Thank you that you've called us to stand for Jesus Christ in the easy times and the hard times. Thank you for the truth of the gospel. And God, I want to thank you for all of the men and women who have laid down their lives that we might have the opportunity to pursue liberty in Christ Jesus. God, let us be a blessing to you. Let us walk in the fulfillment of the kingdom at this time, in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you have your Bibles with you, you might turn to John chapter 15. And again, for anybody who's new to us today, the translation I use is the New Living Translation, which for me works really well unless I try to quote it, then I have to switch back to King James or NIV. In John chapter 15 and verse 13, it says, "There's no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends." And that's a quote from the Lord Jesus Christ. "There's no greater love has any man that he lay down his life for his friends." There's a lot of examples I could use. I could take the whole list of people who have won the Congressional Medal of Honor. And I don't know that I can say that you win the Congressional Medal of Honor. When that is given to you, it's because of something in there that you have done that fulfills that greater love has no man than this, that he at least be willing to lay down his life for his friends. It's that soldier that when the in World War I, that when the grenade came into the trench, rather than try to save his own life, put his body on top of the grenade, that his fellow soldiers lived. It's the person, it's the Audie Murphys of the world that did phenomenal job individually overcoming humongous odds to preserve this nation. It's the Japanese gentleman who was a new Christian, came to Christ in a Billy Graham crusade, and was up on the mountain in a train on a train ride, and the train's coming down and the brakes are not working, the train's picking up speed and there's corners coming. They don't know how to stop it. And what he left behind in writing was pounding in his head were the words, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." And he crawled beneath the wheels of the train and slowed it sufficiently that they could stop it. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. It's not giving up, it's fighting forward. If you continue reading the scripture, not only does it say there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for his friends, Jesus says, knowing fully well that he's going to lay his life down, shedding all of his blood in payment for our sin. And he says, you are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves because a master does not confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends since I have told you everything that the Father has told me. You didn't choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask using my name. This is my command, love one another. Well, he tells us to go and bear fruit. I'm going to talk just briefly about fruit. There's several kinds here. There's internal fruit. The internal fruit is that love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. You're called to walk in the Spirit, and when you walk in the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit manifests in your life. Manifests in your life. And when it does, you produce. You produce it. That is that manifestation. And that's from Galatians 5, 22 and 23. And as you look at that, and you know, I've heard us, not all of us personally, but Christendom, make excuses of why we don't bear fruit. And the only one that seems to have any validity to me is when a person first comes to Christ and they don't know anything. But if they just endure and hang in just a little bit, that fruit-bearing tree will blossom within their heart. And you don't earn the fruit of the Spirit. You grow appropriately. But here's the other thing. There's this illustration is lacking. If you say, well, it's not the right season. And I've just sprouted some fruit, but it's not there yet. There's really one season. And that season is a fruit-bearing tree that blossoms every day, all day. You're called to love one another. That's part of that fruit-bearing that happens within you. And you shouldn't have to work and go, look, he's got hair. This is not. My hair used to be significantly longer than yours. If it grows out, it gets really curly. I could pull it down to my belly button. It popped back up to my shoulders. But I miss having real hair. I mean, this is real, but there's not much of it. It's not like I get to choose to have hair, not have hair. It's just the way it is. But as you walk as a Christian, you bear fruit. That's what Christians do. It's natural to you. It's a natural outflow of a dedicated life. I'll tell you something else it is. You shouldn't have to struggle to share your faith with someone, because the natural outflow of a Spirit-filled life is the sharing of the person who saved you, the sharing of your Lord and Savior. It's fruit. And part of that end result of the fruit is from a Matthew 28 perspective, go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations. It didn't say there, go and send Yuming forth to make disciples of all nations. Or leave it to Guy, he'll do it. That's not what it says. It says, go ye therefore. And again, the argument that people are trying to make is that, well, that was only for the apostles. Well, what did it tell them to do? Again, Jesus said, go and make disciples of all peoples, of all nations. And the problem is when you make a disciple, the natural outflow of a new disciple is to make disciples. Got to tell somebody. I can tell you on April 1st, 1980, 1:15 in the morning, when Jesus flooded my life, I knew that I had to tell somebody. It's like the old Don Francisco song, Francisco, I'll get his name correct, song. Got to tell somebody, got to tell somebody what Jesus has done for me. It's natural. It's the bearing of fruit. And that didn't take very long to happen. It was moments until I knew. And are you always successful? I had a person ask me last summer. He said, because I was supposed to teach a class on personal evangelism. It's like so not hard to teach that. But nobody likes the class because walking in it is the harder part. He said, and I don't want to hear the success stories. I want to hear the failures. And I'm going, he's already missed the boat. I go, Drew, open your ears. There's no failure in this. And he goes, you can't say that. So every time that you share Christ, somebody comes to the Lord. And I go, no. He goes, that's a failure. And I go, no. Sometimes you plant. Sometimes you water. Sometimes you fertilize. Sometimes you prune. And sometimes you harvest. Takes all of it, all the time. But boy, that's not what people wanted to hear. They want to go, I can take the four spiritual laws. I can quote the Roman road. I can, practice all that. But until you can love your neighbor as yourself enough that you'll obey what the Lord Jesus Christ commanded you, love each other, love your neighbor as yourself, then you get all bound up in freaking out over the idea that I'm going to get rejected, I'm going to get embarrassed, but you got to drop the I from that equation. It's not the I thing. One of my friends, who I think is a dear friend, is going to teach next Sunday night. And since Ron's sitting right there, I'll embarrass him today. But I'm going to tell you, he always says, we're not going to teach. We're going to invite the Holy Spirit to teach, and we're going to walk hand in hand with him along that line. And he is absolutely right. The way you've got to do is you have to set yourself aside, because none of us are competent to preach in lieu of the Lord Jesus Christ or to teach in lieu of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we are competent to seek his face, to walk in Christ, and to make way for the Holy Spirit to do the living work of a living God. That's bearing fruit, folks. So we've got Galatians 5, 22 and 23, fruit of the Spirit. We've got making disciples, Matthew 28, 19. And you want to know, well, how do I prepare for this? Oh, it's answered. Here it is. Brace yourselves. Psalm 18, 35. He trains my hands for battle. We battle not against flesh and blood, but against everything else out there in the spiritual realm. Last week, we talked about putting on the full armor of God. Okay, so stay armored up. Walk in truth. We gird our loins in truth. We put on the breastplate of righteousness. We shod our feet with the sandals of the preparation of the new gospel of peace. We take up the shield of faith to quench the fiery darts of the enemy. We put on the helmet of salvation and take up the two-edged sword, the word of God, the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ, that pierces to the dividing asunder. The big statement here is spirit and soul. It lays bare before the Lord Jesus Christ so a person can see themselves as they really are before the living God. And that's a frightening experience, except that he made way. He made way. And he made way for salvation by shedding his blood for you and me. And I can't help it, Sarah and Sarah. Because I pick on people all the time. Alani might be the next moment. Who knows? Just panic ensued. But the simplicity of this is you just set yourself aside. You know, the statement from the Jesus people day was let go and let God, and they weren't wrong. That's stepping aside. And how do we do that? Ooh, it's complex. I think Yuming read that scripture. Well, I know that he did. Galatians 2:20. Actually, I'm going to back up. I'm going to start in 15. Paul speaking. You and I are Jews by birth, not sinners like the Gentiles. Boy, that sounds condemning. Well, I'm 6% Jewish. Does that count? I'm a little more than that Tunisian. Does that count? I don't know. You and I are Jews by birth, not sinners like the Gentiles. Yet we know that a person is made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ, not by obeying the law. Do you know how strong of a statement that he just made speaking to Jews? Yet we know that a person is made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ, not by obeying the law. And we have believed in Christ Jesus so that we might be made right with God because of our faith in Christ, not because we have obeyed the law. For no one will ever be made right with God by obeying the law. You know why? Because you can't do it. You can't do it. But suppose we seek to be made right with God through faith in Christ, and then we're found guilty because we've abandoned the law. Would that mean Christ has led us into sin? Absolutely not. Rather, I am a sinner if I rebuild the old system of law I already tore down. For when I tried to keep the law, it condemned me. So I died to the law. I stopped trying to meet all of its requirements so that I might live for God. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not treat the grace of God as meaningless, for if keeping the law could make us right with God, then there was no need for Christ to die. I don't know about the rest of you, but I needed Jesus to die for me, because I could not do it. And if you ask people around me where I was growing up and things like that, and in college, oh yeah, Greg, he's a good guy. Wow, are they confused? Well, by all earthly standards, I was a good guy. I did good things. I worked with people. I tried to be a blessing to them, not a curse to them. And I tried to do it all without Jesus, and I failed miserably. Failed miserably. I remember having a prayer meeting on the Alaska Marine Highways. I love saying that. I don't remember which vessel it was, but there were three, I'm calling them young preachers. There was Greg White, former member of Statewide Narcotics in Alaska. Furl Moore, former heroin dealer. Jerry Flowers, former cocaine dealer, on our faces, on the floor, having the best prayer meeting I've ever attended in my life. Because it didn't matter, we all fell short of the glory of God. But we were all washed in the blood of the Lamb. And three different people came to Christ in three different areas, under three different circumstances, but had the same driving need for the Savior. So your job to fight the battle before you is to stay crucified inside. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You know, that's a simple message. But I will tell you, like Leslie Schwarzentruber, our, I'd say dear, Mennonite friend in Arkansas, who called and said, if for him to use the phone for anything other than business was a big deal. And he goes, Greg, I've read this book, this Billy Graham book, and it says that he would just preach a simple message. I've read some of those messages. It's a simple evangelical message. And it says that he would say, ask people to come forward by the hundreds or the thousands, depending on how big this was. And they did. And he goes, is this right? And I go, been there for one of them. And it was harder to stay on your chair than it was to get up and go forward. Now, when you look at it on TV, is everyone going forward coming to get saved? No. There's a bunch of them that are counselors that are going to be down there to counsel with people, to lead them to Christ, as Billy Graham prays with the group. But yes, it's real. Well, he goes, how can this be? And I go, how do you spell Holy Spirit? How do you spell the anointing of God, which is another way of saying the Holy Spirit? How do you, well, what you should say is, that's just like my Jesus. It's, as Billy Graham would tell you, it's not the man in the pulpit, it's the Jesus in the heart. This is simple stuff. Armor up, stay crucified with Christ, bear fruit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. So I'm going to tell you right now, you can, beloved, you can love one another, and there's no law against it. I think Yiming said that about three or four times since I've been here. I don't think that's against the law. It's not. It's not. You can love. It's all right. Agape, choose. Choose to love. Well, who? Anybody around you? Anybody around you? And you know, you just have to be, what's that? What's the D word? You have to be discerning. Be discerning. Sometimes there's pearls to throw before swine. Don't do that. Be sensitive to what God's doing. Don't let distractions deprive you or somebody else of the Savior's move in their heart. Sometimes it's not Earl that needs to share Jesus. It's that God set up a situation for Shannon to share Jesus, and Earl doesn't need to get in her way. Not that that would ever happen. But this whole thing is, how do you walk in obedience to Jesus? Greater love has no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. As Jesus said that, I can believe that he was seeing the cross in the future, knowing that he was the one that was going to lay down his life for his friends. That's us. People that didn't even know we were his friends yet. And then he said, if you love me, you'll do what I say. Remember the standard? The first greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with your whole being. With everything about you, love the Lord first. And then the second, like unto it, is to love your neighbor as yourself. And I've heard all kinds of teachings that say, well, that just means fellow church members. Oh, okay. Then why did Jesus hang out with sinners? Well, one, they condemned him for it, but it didn't matter because he came to seek and save those that are lost. If you never hang out with people that are lost, how do you expect to lead anyone to the Lord? I know several of us go to the same barber, and we have two purposes. One of them is getting our hair cut, but the other one is just time to build relationships with a really good barber. And everybody's got different places. I go to gun stores. Why do you go to gun stores? I like guns. That's part of it. But I've noted that sometimes there's lost people in gun stores, and I can talk the language. If you want to talk ballistics of 180 grain Remington Corlock 30-06, I can do that all day. I can do that all day. Well, not all day, but I can do a lot of it until we get to another cartridge. But it gives me, I've got a modality to engage people. I can engage with that. And I look for that. I love, and you know this, I love trolling the grocery stores. Just think of it as a fishing boat. Except I do have sonar. And you look. And what do you look for? Well, there had to be some reason the state of Alaska spent a lot of money teaching me to watch facial expressions and body language. And I've noted that when people have their head over like this and there's tears dripping and they're going, it didn't take an expert to know that this person's hurting. Sometimes it can be more refined than that. But you look for a target. And you engage them for the cause of Christ. Is that so difficult to imagine? I mean, that's kind of putting it out in printing, but we do. You know what? One of the greatest compliments I've ever heard, I heard this morning, and it was from Harold Mosier, and he said that I probably wouldn't have come to Christ when I did if it wouldn't have been for the love that Earl Mitkiff expressed towards me. Take it and run with it, brother. That's a good thing. Knut the fisherman, about to die in Bartlett, knock on the door. "Hey, Newt, it's Greg White, pastor from Tinicky." And Evie goes, "Hey, Newt." Boom, guy's almost blind, if not totally blind. What does he do? "Evie Meyer, I came to Christ because of you on KRSA, Christian Radio Southeast, and J. Vernon McGee." You know, what was happening? Every time she was on the air, she was planting. I've watched this man walk around Petersburg just loving people. And you go, well, how did he do it? Is that hard? Natural outflow of a committed heart, a heart committed to Christ. Natural outflow. What's one of the things pastors must do? Love your neighbor as yourself. What does he do? He loves people. Is this hard? You go, well, some people it is. I mean, there's some people that are difficult. Yeah. But you know what? That's just a vessel waiting for God to make change, to conform to his image. So be conformed to the image of Christ. Be conformed. This is a simple, simple message. What you do with it is what's important. You know, I made a joke this morning. If the material didn't come in and you've got to teach a Sunday school class next week, I can see you down there going, okay, we're going to do introduction to calculus. No, we're not. This is simple stuff. This whole thing. Armor up, die to self, lay down your life for your friends. Wow. Lay down your life because God requires it of you, and lay down your life so you can love your neighbor as yourself. It's not complex. It's not the law. It's just the Lord. It's just the Holy Spirit of the living God, the Lord Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, and our Heavenly Father. You know, in the same of the books that we've looked at today, in John also at one point, Jesus, he says, you know, pretty soon I'm going to be going away, and then you can talk to your Heavenly Father, and he's going to listen to you. You've never done this before. And he says, stood in my name. Stood in my name. He didn't call us to do anything impossible. He just wired us to obey, and he called us to that obedience. If the praise team had come forward, we're going to stand up here in just a second, and we're going to pray, and then we're going to sing the oddest song of invitation you've ever heard. It's Memorial Day. It may start out, what's the first word? Yeah, oh, that's two words. Oh, beautiful. It'll be easy. So if you'd stand, let's pray. Ma'am? Okay, if you're using the hymnal, use the screen because we're doing verse 5 also, and it's not in the hymnal. And you know, some of these songs that we look at as patriotic songs, they are, but they have really good words. If you haven't read, "Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord," you should read that whole song. If you look in the hymnal at the national anthem, look at the second verse, which is really the fourth verse, and it would tell you mindset. Let's bow. Heavenly Father, in Jesus Christ's name, we come to you. And Father, we thank you for all things. As you tell us, for all things to give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. God, make us over in your image. Help us to go forward as we should, being vessels of your love and mercy and joy and all the fruit. Fill us that we might honor you. If there's anyone in the room that's never asked Jesus into their hearts, and today's the day of salvation, then pray with me. Well, Father, in Jesus' name I come to you. And God, I've always known there's a God. And Lord, I believe that you're Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah. And I'd ask you to forgive me for my sins and heal me and strengthen me and fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. I would ask that if you were one of those people and you did do that, if you'd come and see me after service, we'll go from there. Let's sing.
Oh, beautiful for space. spacious skies, o'er amber waves of grain, o'er purple mountain majesties, above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed his grace on thee, and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Oh, beautiful for pilgrim feet whose stern exalt us a thorough fare for freedom there across the wilderness. America, America, God shed his vows on thee. Firm thy soul in self-control, thy liberty in law. Oh, beautiful for heroes proved in liberating strife, who more than self their country loved, and mercy more than life. America, America, may God our gold refine, till all success be nobleness and every great divine. Oh, beautiful for patriot dream, they seize beyond the years, alabaster cities gleam undimmed by human tears. America, America, God shed his grace on thee, and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Oh, beautiful for men of faith who founded this great land, proclaimed for us in God we trust, and held to God's strong hand. America, America, God shed his grace on thee, till lives confess his righteousness from sea to shining sea.